Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Quiero decirte que disfrutes. Mientras más mal hablen de ti, mamacita,
aprende de esta loca vieja.
Eso se llama envidia. Hello, hello, hello.
Qué show.
What's up, Babelito?
Not much. Getting ready for the craziest fucking week ever. But I'm here in cloudy, beautiful Chicago. How are you?
Why is your week going to be crazy?
Because I am part of this triennial. It's the Association of Latin American Art. It has a conference every 3 years, and this year takes place here in Chicago. So I'm chairing a panel, I'm presenting a paper, I'm helping hosting all kinds of things. So it's going to be like Thursday to Saturday, nonstop craziness. And, wow. You know, just other things.
Cool. What is the conference?
So the conference is just about Latin American art and art history. So there's probably like 6 or 7 panels throughout the weekend, and it's going to take place at the Art Institute of Chicago. So if you're in the area, just show up. We would love if you sign as a member, and it's only $25 for students, $35, I think, for regular people. But if you don't, you can just show up, and I think it should be okay. So I'll put the link on the website for the triennial, because it's going to be fun.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Going to be interesting.
I just have a lot of projects going on, so I just been in the studio around the clock trying to make a miracle happen. The Lord is testing me right now, or Satan. I don't know which one. But
okay, Sabrina.
I know. So I don't know what to do. I feel emotionally, mentally, physically exhausted, but I need to keep going. So we'll see how this next week goes, because I have a lot to do in this 1 week. And so we have a similar story, I guess. And then we have to go to New York. So hopefully I won't be a complete zombie for the New York show. I'm going to really try to be present. Or just do drugs. So we'll see what happens.
or let a car run you over.
Oh my God, what a dream. What a dream. Just run in front of a taxi. Oh, no, I won't do that. I'll do it after the show. I can't let the listeners down.
Right.
And I'm not talking about getting killed. I just want to get clipped, you know, so that I have to go, like, get stitches or something. So I can,
to the hospital for a couple of days.
Yeah, maybe just a couple hours, really. I just need a couple hours of rest, y'all. Like, that's it.
So do you still cook, or are you just buying
cook?
Food?
Who the fuck has time to cook, bitch? I'm not Ina Garten over here making a snap pea puree. What the fuck? Shut the fuck a cook. Oh my God.
Pues que comes, dime, güey.
Whatever
que comes
I can, girl. Not today, because I haven't eaten yet today. We're recording early in the morning. Sorry to spoil the fantasy, everybody. We don't have lunch every day. Yesterday I ate a torta. That was good. The chile relleno. It was giant. It took me 2 sittings to finish it. It was so bomb.
Nice. Yeah. I haven't eaten today either. I just had a banana.
Oh my gosh. You know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Actually, I think lunch is the most important meal of the day.
I throw down for breakfast. So yesterday we had ¿cómo se llaman? Waffles.
Waffles. I used to. I don't care, bitch. That you don't say it like that. It's called a waffle. Okay. Everybody send emails about how I make fun of Abuelito's accent. That is not an accent. That's saying words completely wrong.
Waffles.
Waffles.
Como mi mamá decía, los hockeys.
Hockeys. Panqueques. What else did you eat?
Not bologna today.
Bologna. ¿Qué más?
Bacon y huevos.
Mm.
Yeah, very
American Grand Slam Denny's breakfast. Good for you.
When it comes to breakfast, I need mis huevos, mi carne, mis papas y se acabó. Like, I'm very basic like that. I don't do a big breakfast.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Basic. Yeah. Okay, so...
Stupid.
Let's take a little break and let's come back with listener letters. Today we're going to do some listener letters. We're so excited because we have so many good ones. And, you know, we've been doing more listener letters lately. And I think it's good because we're almost caught up to answering all of them from last year.
Damn.
I know, right? So I love it. I love our listeners. Everybody spends so much time just writing these letters. And I really want to make sure we read most of them on the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I'm down.
Okay, let's take a little break. Today's episode is brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacan in Las Vegas on East Desert Inn.
Don't get it confused, cabrones. It's the original, the one, the only on Desert Inn that has the most amazing food, Mexican food in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know that torta I was talking about? That's where I got it from.
Yeah, I figured. And I was gonna ask, was that a tortuga? Because it sounded like a tortuga from Lindo Michoacán.
Yes, it's so bomb. And, you know, they always give you a little bit of fideo for every meal. And when I was there yesterday, I got 2 cups of it, girl. It was good. I said, Señor, otra copa de fideo, por favor.
Otra copa.
And he looked at
una copa de fideo orgánica, por favor.
Orgánica with salt on the rim. And and he brought it to me just like that. And I drank it with a straw. It was so good.
That's the only way to have fideo in Lindo, Michoacán.
I know, but you know, if you go to Lindo and you say you listen to Latinos Who Lunch, they will give you a fatty discount, 25% off. So go to Lindo, Michoacán on East Desert Inn and say, hey, I listen to Latinos Who Lunch. And maybe some waiters that are new will be like, what does that mean? Who gives a shit?
Insistan, and you'll get it.
And they'll be like, oh, shit. Here's your discount. Lindo Michoacán.
Save water. Drink margaritas.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of a New York song, but I can't think of one because it's too early. Let's see.
Yo te canto una.
Okay, dale.
Señorita Zafata, el menú me ha hecho daño. ¿Sería usted tan grata de enséñame el baño? Whoa, whoa.
What the fuck? That's not a New York song.
Yes, it is. It's about a lady who's stuck in a plane going.
It doesn't have. How do we know that from what you just said?
Porque no me dejaste terminar. Me marcho a Nueva York.
You sang that last time.
Pues it's the best song about New York there is.
Girl, we're doing a commercial. I wanted a fresh song, and then you sing the same one you did last time.
Okay, do Alicia Keys.
No, I did that one last time too. Oh, girl.
Pues lo que sea, pues,
anyway,
ya,
we're going to New York, everyone. We're going to be at NYU. Come through, Babelito.
Yes, this event is going to take place Monday, March 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Einstein Auditorium 34. Again, this is in New York City in La Manzanota. We've been waiting to do something in New York, so it's finally happened. It's finally happening. Thank you very much from the Latin people from the Latinx Project and the Mexican Student Association at NYU and other organizations that came together to put this amazing event together. Again, it's March 11 from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Einstein Auditorium.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
There you go.
I remembered that Billy Joel song. You know, I low-key love Billy Joel. I don't know what it is.
I don't know either.
You know, like Uptown Girl, you know, it's like so cheesy, but like nostalgic, no? Okay.
Okay.
Can we start the show? Great. Okay. And we're back.
So this is an email from Monique's. Spanish language podcast. That's how it's written. Hola, amigos. I love your show. You asked for Spanish language podcasts, so here are a few. There are Puerto Rico focused, though, which is great because we don't give enough love to the our Caribbean brothers and sisters. So here we go. So the podcast that Monique is recommending is Brincando el Charco, Alzando la Voz, La Sombrilla Queer. Oh, I like that one. Puestas pa'l Problema, also Puestos pa'l Problema, Plan de Contingencia, y Mejor con Guanábanas. A lot of this have to do with politics, but the first four are feminist-oriented. Los quiero un montón, Monique.
Yeah, thank you for that. And please, if you're ever online and you hear a really great podcast, feel free to email us, but also on social media. Tweet at us, send us a direct message, or comment on our Instagram so other people can see it. So if anybody... let's try and do like a Twitter campaign. If anybody wants to share a podcast that they do that's in Spanish, please tweet at us and we will repost it and retweet it on our Twitter timeline for everybody to see. So thank you so much, Monique, for sending us that list.
Yeah, and especially because it's from Puerto Rico, and because I know there's a lot of podcasts coming from YouTube, coming from Mexico, especially Mexico City. So it's nice to hear fresh voices from other places besides Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next letter. This comes from Miguel. Manas, you two are the conscious as fuck primos I have I've wished I had since I was but a young gay lad. I'm first generation, born in Salinas Valley to hella young parents. After living in several places throughout California, I moved to NYC to be with a really good homegirl / casi hermana. Since relocating here, I have been struggling to establish a semblance of Latino, specifically Mexican, sustenance with the similar comfort and nourishment I'm so fortunate to have back home. Finding your podcast moved me so deeply, casi cada vez que me pongo a escucharlos, y I end up with a profound feeling of life, love, orgullo, and consciousness like I've never found before. Oh my God, cálmate, güey. Okay, listening to how you guys have refined this life-sustaining show and how you as individuals have shared your personal journeys of growth through the process, man, you guys are fucking rad AF. For real, perras. I love it. He writes like we talk. You guys feed the very depths and complexities of my queer, ni de aquí ni de allá, Latinx espíritu. Thank you. All right. And on to the question. I wonder if you could include some suggested readings with your recommendations o en sus Insta posts / website. Babelito, I'm fascinated by your studies and wonder if you might be able to share suggestions of literature / authors where you turn to help you form your robust understanding and analysis of the works you discuss, even just like magazine articles or poems or short stories. Dios los bendiga y que me los cuida. Thanks, dudes. Atentamente, Miguel. And then before you answer that, Babalekis, I just want to give a shout out to another listener, Crystal, who actually asked pretty much the same question. So they're asking you for books or reading recommendations, articles to help them their identity, but also just to learn a little bit of history that maybe we aren't taught in schools, you know?
Okay, so I've recommended a couple of these books before, but I put together a list of several books that will help you in your journey from faux woke to full woke. So here we go. So the first one I mentioned many, many times, and it's been amazing, dude. I've had people tag me as they're reading this book. And I think in the past 6 months, at least 10 people have tagged me. And the book is Silencing the Past by Michael Rolfe Trillo. This book tells you how history is fucked up, how it functions, by giving you several examples, including what we have done with Christopher Columbus Day here in the United States and how we've taught the wrong side of history and so on and so on. Again, Silencing the Past by Michael Rolfe Trillo. Probably my Bible. amazing. And then book that I just recommended not too long ago, I think it was our episode with Let There Be Luz, is Deep Mexico, Silent Mexico, An Anthropology of Nationalism. It tells you how we are obsessed with this idea of Mexicanidad, where it comes from, traces from the colonial history to contemporary times. Again, this is by Claudio Lumnitz, Deep Mexico, Silent Mexico, An Anthropology of Nationalism. This is the next one. It's an old one. It's like structuralist, post-structuralist type of reading, but it's broken down in such a beautiful and simple way. This is Mythologies by Roland Barthes, and it tells you how myths are created. So when you learn about how myths are created and you go back to read about Mexico as a nation, things started to make sense. So again, Mythologies by Roland Barthes. This was written in 1957. And then we also have, this one is, you don't necessarily have to read it, but a lot of my ideas about encountering other people, about ethics, come from this book. This is by Emmanuel Levinas, and the book is Totality and Infinity.
Yes, Latino, come through.
And it's about this is a survivor of the Holocaust, and this is a book about encountering other people and what does it mean. It puts it in philosophical terms, and it really, like, we apply it to the encounter between Moctezuma and Cortez, and we apply it to everything. So again, Totality and Infinity. Pero güey, leer a Emmanuel Levinas es como hablar con la Virgen, like it's just too fucking complicated. So there's books out there. There's books out there that break it down for you. And
oh,
then
really?
The book from my advisor, one of the people that I love the most in this life. This is Kirsten Pye Buick, and the book is Child of the Fire. Okay. Mary Edmonia Lewis and the Problem of Art History's Black and Indian Subject. This book is Kirsten's hate letter to art history, which helps you understand a little bit of where I come from. How do I feel about the humanities, academia, and art history? Again, Kirsten Pye Buick, Child of the Fire, Mary Edmonia Lewis, and the Problem of Art History's Black and Indian Subject. And finally, I think a book that every Mexican should read. This is by María Elena Martínez. It's called Genealogical Fictions, Limpieza de Sangre, Religión, and Gendered in Colonial Mexico. This book breaks down the the casta system and the race system in the colonial period through documents of the Inquisitions. So she reads all these trials of people that were brought to trial by the Inquisition, and it breaks it down in such an amazing way. After you read this book, you will never be the same person again. Again, the book is Genealogical Fictions, Limpieza de Sangre, Religión or Religion, Engendered in Colonial Mexico by María Elena Martínez. Descanse en paz. She was such a wonderful scholar.
Awesome.
So those are my books to deconstruct the mind.
Thank you. Speaking of deconstruction, it reminds me of the term decolonizing.
Right.
And I recently had the honor of interviewing Edgar Villanueva, who wrote the book Decolonizing Wealth. And guess what? I actually read the whole book.
Sweet. That's awesome.
It was so great. And I didn't expect to, because the book is written from the Edgar Villanueva's point of view, who is in the like philanthropy world and nonprofit world. And I didn't think that I would be so into it, because it's not like exactly what I do. But since I've worked in museums and, you know, I'm a person of color in America,
right?
a lot of the things that he was saying like really hit home. So if anybody wants some homework, because I did interview him, I don't know how the audio is going to be, y'all. I'm not going to lie. It's probably not that great, because I interviewed him on my phone while I was in a car.
Well,
but you know what we do, it's what we do for Latinos Who Lunch. I love the book and I love talking to him. So check out that book, Decolonizing Wealth by Edgar Villanueva. And I think his interview will come out in a few weeks on Latinos Who Lunch. Also, I don't know if you've heard about the book Selena's Secret by Maria Celeste Raraz.
Yes!
That's another one that is that is a must for all you Chicanos out there. Just kidding. Don't read the book. It's trash. It's so badly written. And you know what I think it is, though? I think she wrote it in Spanish and it was like translated really bad. You know how that happens sometimes?
Right. And it's like, just, it's,
you know, that always blows my mind when I'm watching something in Spanish and the person says something so poetic in Spanish. Like,
y luego en inglés, soy así como bien común.
Well, and yeah, when they translated into English, I'm like, excuse me, that's not what she said.
Excuse you. Know what I'm talking?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. I see it in translation in movies all the fucking time, and I'm just like,
it is wild.
No.
You're listening to these people on cam on in a movie, and they're like spewing this like poetic
their
this
soul.
Love letter, their soul, their love letter, and then in the thing it's like, sup, bruh? You know, like what?
You know what's a good tool, and I've rejected it for a long time, but it actually works. It's what? Google Translator. You will think that a lot of the intricacies and nuances of Spanish get lost, but it actually does a good job, and not just for like two or three words. Like you can put entire paragraphs or pages, and it does a really good job. Of course,
girl,
you have to go through it. I mean, if you need to translate something, if you don't have $300 to pay somebody to translate it, because that's the right thing to do, this is what you should do. Like, it really works.
Check out my interview, my latest interview in BG Magazine, which is Una Revista de Ecuador, where that's exactly what I did when they emailed me all the questions in Spanish. I answered them in English, put them in Google Translate, and just, like, adjusted a few words, you know, because it gets some phrasing weird. And it was magic. I was like, oh my God, thank goodness for this.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I know. Oh. And in Spanish, again, I was like, sup, bro. I mean, piñatas, what up? You know?
That's funny. Okay, on to the next letter.
Awesome. Yes.
Okay, this is by Marisa. Hi, I'm a longtime listener, first time writer. I was listening to episode 74, and the part that really hit me was the friendship part and how the both of you have handled friendships. My dilemma is that one of my best friends basically does not respect my time or friendship. He is the first friend I made in high school, and we have been in each other's lives for 20 years. I believe he suffers from FOMO, fear of missing out. He's always the last one to arrive at a party and the first one to leave because there is always a better party to go to. The shit he does is annoying, but I've always let it slide. But last year, he moved to another state, and we text, DM, instant message, etc. At least 4 times a day. He has been back in town for nearly 3 weeks, and I have yet to see him. He continues to message me every day, but breaks plans constantly. The last straw was seeing an Instagram story of him on the train heading out to a party with a bunch of beers right around the time he made plans to come up to my house. Then I get a text saying, girl, I can make it. This shit really hurts my feelings. I'm a mother of two, and I might not be able to drink or party it because I don't have a problem making plans to do so and get a babysitter to see my friends. At this point, I feel like I'm wasting my time and money on this friendship. What do I do? How can I bring it up without cutting him out of my life? Or should I just say, fuck it? Please help. Also, I love you both. I'm always in a good mood when I listen to your show. I literally LOL. Emoji face of somebody crying and laughing. Again, this was Marisa.
So she's had this friend since high school,
mm-hmm.
and he just kind of keeps ditching her for other friends.
Right.
Is that what's happening?
It sounds to me like you guys have grown apart, which especially happens mm-hmm. a lot with friendships from like high school, because we tend to fantasize this idea of who we were back then, but the reality is that like people grow and turn into different directions. But I also think that you shouldn't give up on your friend, because you never know. You never know when he may be back. You never know when you may need him or he or she may need you. I found that the most valuable friendships I have are people that have been in my life for a long, long time. And adjusting to new forms of life. And for example, shout out to my friend Maddie. When she first got pregnant and she got married, like I felt left out. But it was adjusting to her new life that crossing that path, struggle that I was having of feeling left out, actually helped me a lot. And she became one of my best friends after that. And even though we don't talk every day, we don't DM every day, I will see her and she's my sister. So it's like nothing has happened. So I feel like this is more like a bump. So I wouldn't give up. But I don't know, Fabio, what do you think?
Give up, dump them in the trash.
Fuck it. Bye.
There's like probably hundreds of people in the building you live. Make new friends. Okay, next question. No. It's tough. High school friends, honestly, I talk to maybe like one or two people from high school still.
Same.
I mean, in the past 10 years or whatever, I have grown so much. So, you know, not to say that I'm like above the high school people or we're changed so much, because, you know, we're basically the same people. We're just like smarter now, you know. But like as far as our like personalities and stuff, hopefully some of us are smarter. But it's tough. It's tough with friends, especially when people are going through things. But I mean, I have so many amazing friends that I love like family. And we went through a couple years of like maybe not talking to each other or not liking each other. And sometimes you just need kind of time to just be apart so you can kind of reflect on what happened.
Right.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. The one thing I will say, though, is that you need to actually communicate mm-hmm. that you're taking a break or you're starting your friendship over, or I don't know, because just from my experience, it's better to just communicate that instead of just like ghosting somebody.
Right.
So it's hard, but you have to be honest. Like everything that you just said in this letter, you need to tell your friend. And honestly, after you do that, you can see their reaction and then assess whether you want to continue to be their friend or not. Because that's what I've realized through my friendships. When things get weird or things get hard and you see how the other person reacts, you're like, oh, fuck, this person isn't who I thought they were.
Right.
You know? And so it can work in either way. It can either end your friendship, and that's sad, and you're going to have to mourn that. And I feel like a lot of people don't mourn the end of friendships, and it is something that you have to do. And it's something that a lot of people kind of hold on to,
right.
And it's not healthy. So you should be ready to do that, or be ready to take a break and, you know, be apart for a little while. And then when you get back together and you start hanging out again, like Babalito, like you said with Maddie, your relationship is different, or, you know,
stronger.
It's stronger, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the other person could realize they could be so selfish right now that they don't realize that they're hurting your feelings. So by you just communicating, that's the most important thing. And I was just talking about this with one of my friends. It's harder for men to communicate for some reason. And the reason is fragile and toxic masculinity, because nobody wants to show what they really feel nowadays, you know? If he's a dude, he might have trouble expressing something that bothers him about you, you know? And that's why he doesn't want to hang out with you. So you just got to kind of open up and see what they say, and then you say what you need to say. And it sucks, because you've known this person for 20 years, but y'all don't have to be... Y'all don't have to be holding hands, skipping down the street every day. You know, you can still be support system,
right?
By just knowing that you have somebody there.
Yeah, and I think it's important that to understand what you say, that like I can't remember the friendships I have from high school. I think it's maybe my friend Yaremi from a long time ago, but things change, and I think you'll know. And you're right, Favi. Just have that conversation, and at that moment, you'll know if this is a person for, you know, for the rest of your life, or maybe you need some distance right now. But don't call it off just yet. I think that 20 years is worth the time and the energy that you have to put into this relationship, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I think mine's the next one.
Si.
From Jocelyn. Here we go. Or Jocelyn. I don't know how you pronounce it, but we're going to go.
Pareces anunciador de Univision. O Jocelyn.
Jocelyn. Okay. I just finished the podcast with Dr. Denise and really appreciated Favi's comment about Central American erasure. When can we hear more about that? Con mucho cariño, your 37-year-old fangirl, Jocelyn. All right, let's talk about it.
It's a reality, man. So when we spent 2 days talking about the food you ate in Guatemala, that fucking gave me life. Mm-hmm. It was so important, because you don't hear that. There's no like Latinx-centered podcasts in the States that are... I mean, there are a couple. I don't know if Puchicabos is still around, but there's like several podcasts. I don't know. It's a thing also in history, the way that history is written, for example, the colonial period. We always talk about, when it comes to the colonies of Spain in Mexico, we always talk about New Spain and Mexico City. But the colonies expanded to Central America. The independence movements expanded to Central America. A lot of shit. So we have so many things in common with people in Central America. We shared history for 300 years, you know, even longer in the pre-Columbian period. So it's a reality. It's a thing. I don't know. So like I love to hear from listeners who love the fact that you, for example, talk about your Guatemala background, because again, representation is important. You know, representation matters.
Yeah, and you know, it's also white supremacy, which you know, when you really think about it and go down to the root of it,
yeah,
it's making all Latinos the same person.
Right.
So, you know, we're in the Southwest, and most of the time, Mexican culture is the default, and it's literally not the case. In Las Vegas, there are so many Central American communities.
Right.
There's a lot of Hondureños, Salvadoreños, and we even have people from Belize living here. You know, like, there's enough people that there's, like, restaurants and, like, little areas where those people are. I went to a Nicaraguan restaurant the other day, you know? So I think that acknowledging that we are Mexico-centric on the show, for me, is the first step. Because I hear a lot of Latinx podcasts, and we talk about inclusivity and really including all of the Latinx communities. But honestly, like, when it really boils down to it, we know what we know, and we talk about, well, who's around us. Pavelito, you're married to a Mexican man. Half of my family is Mexican. Half of them is Guatemalan. Most of the shit we talk about is going to be Mexican,
right?
Because that's what we consume. You know what I mean? I've noticed since you've been with your partner that you're really taking even a more interest in Mexico. So it's going to be harder for us to talk about. It's actually going to be work for us to include more people. And so I just want to make sure that we're aware of it on the show. So that's why I always point it out. And that's the first step. The second step is actually doing the work. And maybe doing an episode on another country, maybe doing an episode about somebody who isn't from Mexico. You know what I mean? And it's not to shit on Mexico. It's just that I want to be more inclusive anyway, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a step. And another thing that I really want to talk about, and I'll be talking about this for years, whiteness within the Latinx community. A lot of white Latinos are walking around pretending that they're brown. A lot of white Latinos realize how white they look and actually, like, go get tan so they look more Latino.
Gross.
You know, like, there's something up with that, right?
Hashtag Alex and Wunter.
So I just want to make sure that Latinos, specifically people in my circle, recognize the privilege they have just because they're light-skinned Latinos. And I think once we realize that our proximity to whiteness is a privilege, it makes us have a little bit of white privilege, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's when we can start growing. And that's when we can start realizing how anti-black our community is.
Exactly.
Because that's another thing. I want to focus, I don't want to erase Central America from this podcast, the Caribbean, and of course, Afro-Latinidad. Nobody fucking talks about that. A few people talk about it, but it's more than Cardi B and Amara La Negra. You know, there's more people out there, okay? And they're everywhere. So what I want people to realize is, if when you look at somebody's elementary school picture and you have people from all, you know, people of all shades of color and some with no color in the picture, I want people to realize that all of those people could be Latinos, right? Latinos are every single color. Again, because of white supremacy, we are just taught from day one that brown is Latino, black is black, white is white, right? They want us, they want those distinctions.
Yeah, it's essentializing race, and it's so much more complicated than that. I was talking to my roommate yesterday, and she said, we always forget that being Mexican in the Latinx hierarchy is like being white. And it's almost like we're the whites of the Latinx community in many different cities, you know, because even these dynamics change in cities. It is for that reason I insist on some of the shit that I learned, right? Because like Lumnes will tell you a little bit of that, because this obsession with Mexico in regards to contemporary boundaries, it gets... It diffuses a little bit when you learn that those boundaries are not that old, right? That, for example, my friend Gustavo Larash, shout out, in Honduras, he talks about how like they bring mariachis to birthday parties all the time. And it's not that they're erasing Honduras culture and highlighting Mexican culture. It's just that we have all these things in common. You know what I mean? We have food in common. We have so many things in common. So I think it's important to highlight those similarities, but at the same time, be very conscious that the differences exist, and those are the differences that are separating us more and more and more and more. So I love that this podcast could be a platform for at least trying to understand some of these issues, because you're absolutely right. And it happens everywhere. The problem with history is that it always chooses a center. Once you pinpoint that center, everything else becomes a periphery. And when it comes to Latinx communities, at least in the West Coast, the center is Mexicanidad. And when you create those dynamics, center, peripheries type of thing, you're always going to erase the peripheries. And in this case, the periphery is Central America. That's why it gets erased. But again, when you start understanding history, when you realize that we were in the same territory for a while, even if it was under oppression, we realize that our struggles are very similar. So it's important to understand that. But I'm glad somebody brought it up, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it's slowly happening. This anti-blackness in this country and racism within the Latino community isn't talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be talked about, because I know that there's Mexicans out there that don't think Mexicans are racist. There's people out there that say shit like, how can I be racist? I'm like, Mexican.
We're all Mexican, like, yeah.
Girl, have you seen Roma? So I don't understand that. So that's why I say it all the time on the show. Just in case somebody's listening for the first time, I want to let them know that this podcast is working against anti-blackness. I want them to know that this podcast is aware of the dynamics and the colorism within Latin America and within Latin American culture and with Latinos in the United States, right? So all of you white Latinos listening, like, for real, look at yourself in the mirror and just realize that your proximity to whiteness, your light skin, actually gives you more access in this
right.
country. And stop. It's this thing where I see a lot of white Latinos playing the race card and playing victim when they're the ones that have more access than people that are darker than them.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct, correct.
And then they get nominated for awards, and then they go on to make TV shows, and then they cast people on these TV shows that look just like them. How many fucking shows that are praised for being Latino shows are all white Latinos? I want to see a show that has Afro-Latinos in it. I want to see a show that has Central Americans in it. I want to see a show that has Asian Latinos in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's so many different kinds of people out there, not just white Latinos for television, so, or for film, right? So, you know, we get lost because we get lost sometimes and just have fun on the show. And that's what the show is about too, you know? So sometimes we just need a break and we don't want to get that deep.
But, exactly.
We're here for it. We're here for Central American visibility. And you know what? Let me tell you something. If you were to tell me when I was like 5 or 6 years old that my grandma, my Mexican grandma, would hire a pupusa lady for her birthday party,
nice.
I would have thought you were crazy. But because ever since I was little, there was this funny, like, people would joke, not in a bad way, but joke about like Salvadorans and Mexicans, you know, Salvadorans and Guatemalans, and like Mexico's better, you know, kind of thing. To see a pupusa lady making fresh pupusas for us at a Mexican party, I was like, damn, we're really growing here.
That's gorgeous.
We're really growing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And
I
that's like, the direction of the world, man. Like, that's the direction that the world is taking. We need to stop thinking about ourselves as minorities, but majorities in the rest of the world, because we are majority in the world. Mm-hmm. We just happen to be minorities in this world. So, like, and this sort of, like, fusion of cultures within brown Latinx communities, it's becoming the norm. And that's why, like, we have the president that we have, because they're fucking freaking out. Like, think about those mm-hmm. things, you know? Like, concentrate mm-hmm. on those things instead of, like, keep fighting with each other, man. I'm so tired. But anyway.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. All right. I think we're good for this episode. Let's take a little break, and then we'll be right back to talk about an album that just dropped. Today's episode has been brought to you by the Marjorie Barrick Museum of Art. Guess what, Pablito?
What?
Access Mundo is still there. If you haven't seen this show, it is so awesome. It's about 50 different queer Chicano artists, a lot of their artwork and a lot of documentation of their artwork. I saw it in LA. It was in New York. It was in Denver. And now it's in Las Vegas. So if you are in the Las Vegas area, I just took my friend to go see it yesterday, and he was so inspired by it. Please stop by the Marjorie Barrick Museum at UNLV.
And also, Las Vegas is a great opportunity because this is the site that has the most objects out of the whole entire mm-hmm. tour of the exhibition. So even if you saw it in LA and you find yourself in Las Vegas, please stop by the Marjorie Barrick Museum at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and take a look, because you're going to be surprised of the amount of objects that they have in that museum.
Yeah, check it out. It's only going to be up for another couple weeks. And we're back. Okay, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that our queen Solange
I want to cry.
Just dropped a new album. We're recording this a little early, so it just happened last night for us in the time machine. What do you think, Pablito?
Girl, I stopped my night. I saw the uh-huh. cover. I'm like, oh my God, okay. What is this going to be? It was out of nowhere. So I don't know. There's a pattern in music that when an album drops, like with a surprise, like surprisingly, it always turns out good. I listen from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Bitch, it is a fucking mystical experience. It is an incredible album, and my knowledge of Black music, it's pathetic, and yet I can still see the amazing influences from Southern rap to like 70s funk, but done in the most beautiful, beautiful way. This is an album that is Black as fuck. It might not be for you, but if you can just enjoy it for a little bit, I think this is going to be her opus magnus. Like, I really think.
And really?
The last album was fucking great. But just with one listen yesterday, I was mind blown. And the list of collaborators is also fucking insane. So check it out, man. What do you think?
I like it. And I see this. This is actually more artsy than the other one.
Right.
Than A Seat at the Table. And what is the name of this one? Can you look it up, Bobby?
It's When I Get Home. Album?
When I Get Home. Mm-hmm. See, and as soon as I saw the title of it, I don't know why. I mean, well, I know why. I thought of the movie The Wiz. Mm. Because the main song in The Wiz is Home. And so I just knew it was going to be Black as fuck. Obviously, it's Solange, you know, but listening to it, I was really surprised. It was good. Like, musically, it's good. And there's like really no songs on there that are like radio hits or like radio ready.
Right.
You know, even the last album had a few songs that were like, okay, they could probably play this on the radio.
Yeah, they were bops, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like Cranes in the Sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just so surprised by that. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? It's Solange. She can do whatever the fuck she wants. She's not trying to impress nobody. At this point, she's making art for herself. She's making art for her people.
Yeah, and like this album, it also shows that She's been doing so much since then, right? Since the last album. I think she performed at MoMA. She did this big performance in the Chinati Foundation in Marfa. So she's always into this minimalist dance performance thing that she's been fostering. And this seems more attuned to that type of work that she's doing than to her pop side. But if you had a chance to watch the videos of her live performances, or if you ever watch her live, there's that element. Like the stage is composed of like big basic shapes, just one color, not a lot of light. It's all about highlighting this like performance / dances, which is like a thing in the art world right now. So she's attuned to that in this album, but without forgetting the roots of so many music movements. And that's, she has a record company. And if you look at the record company that she has, the people that she represents, she represents this weird-ass experimental cool bands that have been around since the 70s, 80s. And she puts, I know, she, like, before she came out with A Seat at the Table, she was making parties in South by Southwest with some of these experimental jazz bands. And all of that is finally together in this album, and I'm fucking here for it. I'm going to send my paycheck. I just fucking love it. I listened to it last night, and I woke up this morning, and my favorite song from the album is called Jared, which turns into the second song called Vince. Dude, listen to those two together. It's like a long ass beautiful fucking song. It's so, so gorgeous. I'm so happy. But I have to go back to it and then read the reviews because I need more information about it. But at first listen, it's fucking amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Do you know the artist Tierra Whack?
Mm-mm. Oh, yes. The 1 minute song album.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I love that album. I've been listening to it a lot in the studio because the songs are almost like parodies of songs or like sketches for songs. Like it almost sounds like not a demo, but like this is where the song is going to go. And then it never kind of resolves itself.
Right.
Or it does resolve itself, but it like the words don't really make sense. It's just like about the idea of the song. And when I heard Tierra Whack's album, I thought it's not taking itself too seriously. But then you watch the visual album and it's like so
amazing,
on point.
Yeah,
it's great. It's art that makes you think, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I listened to Solange, I was like, Tierra Whack have to be part of this production, of this album.
Oh, wow.
And I did my Googles, and she might not be directly influencing this, but Solange is a big fan of Tierra Whack, and they like, you know, have exchanged some online love. So I wonder if there was any influence there with this new Solange album, because if you listen to the songs, they're not really like your regular pop song or regular whatever song.
No, they're so minimalist, yeah.
Format, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's cool to hear that. And like I said, very repetitive, very meditative, some of them, which I think is really cool.
When I first heard Tierra Whack's album, I was mad. I'm like, I want to hear more from this song.
I know.
And it was frustrating, but I think she premiered it on Instagram with a series of posts, like every song. Yeah. It finally grew on me, and I said, thank you, I designed it. Oh, so good, so good, so good.
I miss my dog.
Yeah.
Such a good one. I kiss my dog. That's my favorite one.
Oh, amazing.
All dogs go to heaven. Okay, we gotta go.
Okay, dude.
Anything else, Pavelito?
That's it.
Thanks, Solange. Thank you for blessing us.
Yes, what yet again.
All right. As always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your letters to asklwlpod@gmail.com. And then if you have time, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have,
the more visible we are, and visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
If you have a moment, you can also donate, join our Patreon, send us money on Cash App, $ Latinos Who Lunch, or on Venmo at Latinos Who Lunch. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. The music that you're hearing today is by the band Brown Out. I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
I miss my dog.